This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tis the season for festive football, and the best way to watch it? Down at your local Green King Sports Pub, of course. After all, Christmas is a time to catch up with friends old and new, so get the team to your local for refreshing pints, delicious food and live action of every Christmas cracker. Every fixture from TNT, Sky and Amazon is live at Green King Sport. That means wall-to-wall action on their huge HD screens. Head to your local Green King and watch every winning goal, top bins volley and dodgy VAR decisions in an atmosphere worth sharing. Download the Green King Sport app and you'll receive 10% off drinks every single time there's sport on the telly.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. It's an unbeaten start for West Ham in 2024, though it wasn't a performance that will live long in the memory. Unlike our trip to Arsenal after Christmas, we discuss both games, put things into perspective, the mystery of Maxwell Cornet and the upcoming FA Cup tie with Bristol City before getting a comprehensive news roundup from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. Happy New Year, everyone. We hope you all had a fantastic festive period and we wish you well for 2024, which X is so far an undefeated year for West Ham. However, the 0-0 draw at home to Brighton was greeted by boos from some of the fans. Can you understand why?
That's a good question. I was obviously at the game and it was actually the first time I'd taken my son and my middle daughter to their first ever West Ham game, plus my two nephews as well. So it was like quite a big occasion for us. And obviously I wish I'd picked a more exciting game. I mean, the game was pretty dire to watch, to be honest with you. And, you know, I was a bit disappointed in the performance. I was especially disappointed in the second half when I thought he could have gone for it more and tried to make us more attacking. And the obvious choice for me was to bring Cornet on at some point, and he didn't. So I ended up getting frustrated. I came away thinking, how do I feel about this? And initially, my gut reaction was I'm annoyed that, you know, I think we could have taken the 3 points and that we would have been on such a good run before. But that was my way of calming myself down. I thought, well, if you'd said to me at the start, you know, Wolves, Manchester United, Arsenal and Brighton, who, don't forget, are a bogey side of us, you know, you're going to get 10 points, you know, and the clean sheets in every game. And if you'd said to me at the start of the season, you're going to play Brighton and you're going to get 4 points from the Brighton games, and one of those games is going to be when you haven't got Kudos, Paquetá, Zuma, Aguirre, Chafal, if that's every single one I've remembered, you know, that's five players, then I would have said, okay, I'll take that. I know Brighton had a lot of players out, but at the end of the day, it's annoying we didn't get the 3 points because the league table would look great, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not a bad result. And again, booing. It's just I don't know what it is. It's just a reaction of West Ham fans at times. It was a boring game, I agree, and it was frustrating, but to boo, and then I go on social media, and it's, this is why I don't want David Moyes as manager. And I'm like, oh, can we just give it a rest, seriously, until the end of the season? Let's just see where we are. We're miles away from a relegation battle. We're doing well in Europe. Let's just try and enjoy the season and see where it takes us.
I think you're spot on. I mean, listen, it was a terrible game to watch, absolutely painful. But I agree, we do have to put it into perspective. We did have five or six first-team players missing. That included two of our best and most creative players, by the way. I think it might have been a different story last night if they were playing. It was our fourth consecutive clean sheet, which, interestingly, the last time we did that was in 2014 in the Premier League. Four straight clean sheets, which is something to be proud of. And that draw made it 10 points from four games, like you say, making us start the new year in sixth place. We can't ask for that much more, can we? But is there an argument to say that we shouldn't accept that performance and that result? Does it lack a winner's mentality? Is the fact that we're prepared to take a point at home against Brighton, who are also missing players, like you say, the difference between a club like West Ham challenging for the Champions League place or not?
You know, quite possibly there is that argument, but when you put it into the grand scheme of things, you know, we have just beaten Arsenal away from home convincingly.
Yep.
You know, we have just beaten Wolves very convincingly, who are one of the form teams at the moment, you know, and you can say, well, that's a winner's mentality. You've beaten, you know, a team in the, you know, that Arsenal that are challenging for the title away from home. These games are always and Tottenham as well, yeah. And these games are always going to catch up on you, particularly when we've, you know, listening to Arsenal, they're saying it's caught up with them. They've got a bigger squad and played less games than we have over the season, and they're talking about it, as are other clubs. There are going to be moments in that season, and they'll be in every team seasons. Look at Manchester City, you know, they've had their difficulties this season. Arsenal have had their difficulties this season. Look at Newcastle. Everyone was talking about how well they're doing, and now they're talking about sacking their manager. You know, there's going to be games where things don't go that well. And yes, ideally we would have beaten Brighton. Brighton are a team that we should be beating, but they're not, you know, Sheffield United. They are a team, again, that everyone said, oh, look how well Brighton are doing. Look how good a manager De Zerbi is and stuff. So, yes, ideally we would have won that game, but in the grand scheme of things, if you're rational about it, a draw in those circumstances is not a terrible result. Of course, everyone wants the 3 points, and if we're going to ever win the league, then we're going to have to. But let's be honest, is it realistic to even expect West Ham to win the league? I'm not sure, when you consider you've got Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, you know, Chelsea, Manchester United, Tottenham, Newcastle, Aston Villa, all these clubs that are, you know, arguably bigger clubs with more finances and so on. I think we're doing well. And yes, you know, like I said, you want to win every game you play, but even title winners, when they win the league, there's games that don't go completely to plan. And you could argue that yesterday does show a winning mentality, because despite having all those players out and actually not playing that well, we still managed to hold on for a point against a decent team.
I do agree. I mean, a lot of the faults I have about David Moyes, you share as well, because I do think we're both balanced with our opinions on David Moyes, but I totally agree. I think, look, whilst there are still some frustrations, I do think sometimes we fail to be realistic with West Ham, and it's about getting that balance, I think, between rightfully having a high expectation for West Ham, as I think we should do for this football club now, after leaving Upton Park, being in a 66,000-seater stadium, spending money on a really good squad, etc. I think we should have high expectations. But I think you made a really good point there, in terms of there are so many teams in the Premier League that have high expectations, and they are dropping points, and they are struggling to fit into the top four. So it is getting that balance, isn't it, between having a high expectation and being realistic with West Ham. I think it's important that we try and get that balance if we can.
Oh, definitely, mate. And listen, every manager is going to have their faults, and David Moyes has plenty. I mean, yesterday, like most fans, I can't understand why he didn't bring Cornet on when things were looking, you know, we needed something different, a bit of pace, a bit of energy. I thought Fornals just wasn't involved in the game at all, so that would have been the obvious sub for me. I would have given Lewis Orford a chance. You know, I know he's young, 17, which people seem to forget because, you know, he's in that group of, you know, Mbama and stuff, but they're all a year above him. So Lewis Orford is a young academy player. If you brought him on instead of Souček, who again, the ongoing debate with him, I think didn't really do anything all game. You know, he might have added a bit of creativity, a bit of energy in there. And that's what I would have done. I'd have brought those two on. So that is frustrating that, you know, he doesn't do that. And then there's the other frustrations where, you know, like we've said, sometimes the football's negative. Sometimes there's too much respect shown to the opposition. The random dislike of players. Cornet being the current one. Conor Coventry, another, who just can't get any minutes despite apparently being one of the better players each week in training. And, you know, there's definitely things that David Moyes could do better. But then it's the same for every manager. You know, you speak to any fan, they would tell you that Klopp doesn't do this, or Guardiola doesn't do that, or Arteta doesn't do that. And I think when you put it into perspective, you can't look at that league table and go, oh, bloody hell, we need to get rid of him. It's just ridiculous when we're sitting sixth. I think Champions League, if I'm correct, will be fifth this year. You know, it's going to be a tough gig to get there, but we're as close as we can possibly be without being there at the moment. And, you know, and you want progression in your manager. We were at this point last year. I don't know what the actual points difference is, but it must be huge. We were fighting relegation last year. And now look at us. Like, I just wish fans could try and enjoy it a bit more, because there will be seasons, and you and me and many other West Ham fans have experienced seasons a lot worse than what we're currently experiencing now. Let's just try and get behind the team, see where we end up. And I genuinely believe if we can create a really passionate, united fan base, that will give us an extra strength. And who knows what we could end up doing.
Do you think, we often talk about what the fans expect from the club. Do you think the club are within their rights to expect more from the fans?
I think so, yeah. I think David Moyes will be disappointed with the reaction he gets, you know, being booed after a 0-0 with Brighton. You know, Brighton have just battered Tottenham, a game before, totally outplayed them, and I know they're a bit hit and miss, and I know they had a lot of players that were out, so it wasn't their strongest team. The same applied to us. You know, if you was to pick, aside from Bowen, I guess, so, like, the players you wouldn't want to be missing, one's your captain, the other's your Brazilian superstar, your other's your star boy from Ghana, you know, aside from Bowen, that's the ones you wouldn't want to miss. We're missing all of them. And so, you know, I think to be booed off, I was sitting there frustrated. I'm not going to say I was sitting there loving life. I wasn't. And I was saying to my kids, you know, it's not always that, you know, this boring games can be more fun. Do score goals, you know, and people will say, well, Moyes is boring, but I don't think it is. I wasn't bored at Arsenal. I loved it at Arsenal. So, you know, but yeah, so I was frustrated yesterday, but again, to boo, like, I think it just, and I don't think it was a large amount of people booing. It was only a small, because I was there, I didn't hear much, but it just makes me, it's the other reactions on social media, it just makes me think to myself, like, you know, there's, of all the football clubs in the whole of England, right? Or England and Wales, we are sixth out of all of them. And think how many football clubs there are in the world. So there's only five clubs in England above us that can say, by the definition of the table, they're having a better season than us. So why are we the ones that are getting all the press for being so unhappy? I think, like I said, I can't force fans to be support David Moyes. I can't force fans to be supportive all the time. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Their opinion's just as valid as mine is, as the next person's. But I just do wish, if I could press a magic button, we would have a fan base that didn't just get so angry all the time. One result doesn't go quite to plan, and just stay supportive and positive, because it would just be better for everyone in all aspects.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned him earlier, and I do think we should take a little bit more time to talk about him in more detail. Maxwell Cornet, right? I mean, if ever there's an opportunity to get some minutes under his belts, it was in yesterday's game, wasn't it? Because, you know, he's quick, he's direct, and he's versatile. You know, we've struggled on the left wing at times this season, at times playing players out of position, Paqueta being the prime example. He could have come and played left wing yesterday. He could have played up front yesterday.
and have Jarrod go on the right. But it just doesn't feature. Why? Why is that? Have you got any inside info as to what is going on with Maxwell Cornet?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, mate, because literally when I was preparing the questions for the final section of the show, I would say 75% of the questions asked the exact same thing.
Really?
And then, yeah, then on my Twitter account, pretty much the same 75% of everything I was tagged into last night asked the same question. So I thought, well, for the second section of the show, I've got to research this to do what's, you know, what I say I do for West Ham fans and bring them news and answers. So I spent pretty much most of last night after the game and this morning trying to get an answer. So I've contacted maybe three or four people that would have a connection. So I've contacted a teammate, well, a former teammate, but a recent teammate. I've contacted someone within the management side of things. I've contacted someone within the ownership side of things. I've contacted someone that works just sort of at the training ground in a minor role, but can, in terms of the first team, but that can gets a general feeling for things. So I've literally done my research on this, and I would say 95% of the answers were they don't get it either. So, so that's quite a something. And those that went into a bit more information just kind of said, one mentioned the fact he's got this calf injury, which was when, if you remember, when he was out last season, was described by the specialist as something like a one in, I can't remember the actual numbers, but something like a one in million injury or whatever he'd never seen before. He's only seen it twice, one, I think once before in his life or something. And this is like a top surgeon for calves. So whether that means that he's injury prone, they don't want to risk him with the January window here. Maybe it means that he isn't as quick and fast as we think he is. Maybe he can do it in spurts, but he's just going to get injured again. Although, you know, this point is just not playing him as a result of that. So I don't, there's no real logic in that. One person said he's not the hardest trainer, but then another person said he was. So maybe Moyes has an opinion of the first person that he's not the greatest trainer, but whatever the case is, Moyes signed him. You know, I mean, he was a Will Salt House client, so I'll put that caveat in. But he did sign him. He was very good for Burnley. Burnley fans liked him. He's done well for Ivory Coast, all right? He's not been called into their African nations this tournament, but in the past he's done well, and he's what we need. You know, direct, scores goals, versatile. So the question is, the answer is nobody really knows except for David Moyes. So, and unless I ask him, I don't know. I think he feels he doesn't offer him enough defensively, even though he has played at left back before in his career, and he doesn't think he works hard enough defensively. But What I don't understand is he gave him a chance against Bakker to Poller in Europe away, came on, made the goal for Suchek. What more can the fella do? I think he has to start against Bristol City in the weekend. There's absolutely no reason not to start him. And then he's just going to have to play out of his skin to try and prove to the manager that he has a future at this club. But my gut feeling would be that the manager might be looking to move him on in January. And therefore, if he played him and he got injured, which there's a strong chance of that happening with the calf situation, then the manager wouldn't be able to sell him. So therefore, rather than risk that, he chose not to play him, is my sort of assumption. But as I say, a lot of research has gone into this and a lot of people don't know the answer. The only person that can tell you is David Moyes.
Yeah. So without wanting to step on the toes of your section, do you think the club are proactively looking to move him on this month?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll say if a good offer comes in for him, I think they'll take it. I mean, why wouldn't they? Obviously, he's on a decent wage. I'm not, people don't like it when I talk about wages specifically for some reason, but I'll give you a range, so I'm not being specific. He's in within 70,000 to 90,000, I think, in terms of his basic wage. So obviously paying that for a player that doesn't play is pointless, so obviously get him off the book for that. I think, you know, he obviously doesn't count as homegrown. We need some homegrown players in there. And he he's just not featuring. So if we can get any, I think we'd take a big loss on him. You know, I think it'd be another Felipe Anderson or whoever, you know, a player that we've spent big money on that we then a couple of years later take a big loss on. And I think we'd take anything for him. I think Everton might be looking at him because of Sean Dyche, you know, his former manager at Burnley. Burnley's former club might be looking at him as well, and a couple of French teams. But, you know, the beauty we had with him is that he hasn't gone to the African nations. Ideally, if he was on form, you could argue he's not the perfect replacement for Kudos because no one's going to be because he's that good, but certainly a decent attempt at a replacement for Kudos, and yet he doesn't look like he's going to get that chance to be it.
That's incredible. I mean, to be honest, he, even before that injury, he didn't really get given opportunities as such, did he? He had cameos, but not a steady run in the team where he could really prove himself. And even with the cameos, I thought he came on and done well. It's an absolute mystery, this. And I don't know if too many people have actually publicly asked David Moyes why he doesn't feature. Because I'd love to hear his answer, because I think we're all scratching our heads, aren't we?
Well, I think it's that, you know, I did used to have a couple of sources that were journalists that used to go to the press conferences and, believe it or not, a little bit of an insight into the world of X. They used to ask me what sort of questions I would want them to ask as a West Ham fan. So I used to be able to have that insight. I'd say, right, ask about this. Unfortunately, those journalists no longer go to the press conferences apart from one. But what I might do is I might contact that journalist and just say, can you get that question to him? Because we need to know the answer. It's stupid to have this question that no one can answer, including, you know, like people high up in the football club as to why he doesn't play. Even if Moyes just comes out and says, look, I don't particularly think he's deserved his chance yet. Fornals and Benrahma have been more, you know, contributed more to my time at West Ham than he has. That's the right reason. You might not agree with it, but at least you can get an insight into his thought process. At the moment, it is just a case of it being baffling, and I think he should clear that up personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in terms of the players that did play, our patrons gave the Man of the Match award to Areola, a whopping 73% of the votes, and in second place was Edson Álvarez with 24%. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd say that's spot on, to be honest with you. I think, you know, Areola made a number of really important saves that kept us in the game. Ironically, did the same last time we played Brighton, so Brighton are going to, you know, maybe he's their bogeyman now as them being our bogey team. Yeah. But I agree. And I think Alvarez made some really good tackles and interceptions and got himself in the way of things and started attacks really well. So, yeah, I thought Ben Johnson actually played all right. I thought he had a decent game. And I thought he had a decent game at Liverpool as well, which, you know, considering he was on the fringes of basically going in January and probably still might be. I thought, considering he's been thrown in a couple of times, I thought he did all right. But yeah, I think those two were, you could argue Bonner and Mavropanos had good games as well, but I think those two were definitely the standout ones for me.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Ben Johnson, I would actually quite like to keep him as a squad player because he can play on the left or the right, can't he? But given the time of his
homegrown
career...
as well.
And he's homegrown, absolutely, but would he want to remain a squad player at West Ham? Which, realistically, that's what he'd be, wouldn't he, with Choufal and Emerson playing so well at the moment? I don't know, but no, I also agree with those percentages, to be fair. Let's hear what the gaffer had to say after the game.
Four clean sheets in a row, unbeaten over the festive season, and we're sixth in the Premier League. So, you know, we all want to win games, but sometimes you've got to respect the opposition, respect the way the game played.
Oh, if you'd said to me at the start of the season against our bogey team, we would have taken 4 points and rather been taking it all day long. Mm. But there's another part to it. You want us to perform better with the ball and want us to play better. We did. We defended really well again. Mm. We were resilient with what we had. We stuck at it, which is a big part of football.
Obviously, Fons is probably the star of the show, but he's showed again why you've got so much faith in him.
Yeah, he had to make a couple of really good saves, but Thomas missed a really good chance for us to go 1-0 up. And recently, we've been taking those opportunities, things that have been bobbing around the box, and we didn't get it. So it fell. Actually, I thought the chance we had just before half time from a wide free kick and we didn't score, I thought that probably made me think, my goodness, we're maybe not going to get anything tonight. And that was the way it was.
Were you pleased? I mean, you mentioned the way we defended. Obviously, your back four was Ben, Dinos, Angelo, and obviously Emerson, who started regularly this season. But But they really did stick at it, didn't they? Showed real, you know, real organisation resilience. Oh,
they done brilliant. They really did. The boys played brilliantly well for the team we had out. And I thought we played better in the first half with the ball than we did the second half. We turned it over at the start of the second half three or four times, and it gave us the feeling that, hey, we're not going to bother having the ball when we wanted the ball. Mm. And we were nearly then playing on sort of scraps and the odd counter-attack, you know, which wasn't nice to watch. But it was certainly a good point to get.
You obviously, you played yourself. When you don't play regularly, that match sharpness, and you could see at the end there was a few lads probably running on fumes a little bit, but they kept going.
Yeah, well, look, we've had a lot of those boys playing Europa League games and whatnot, so most of them should all have had a little bit of time and things which we think we're ready for. And I thought they showed it tonight. You know, Pablo, Saeed, Ben, you know, Dinos and Angelo have not played as many games as maybe others. So we've had to make quite a few changes tonight, and I actually think against a good Brighton team who've had to make changes as well, I think it was a good result.
Assess the sort of festive period then. Obviously it's been a pretty happy Christmas and a happy New Year.
It's been a brilliant for us to sort of win 3 and draw 1-0 in the 4 games. It's been a good period for us. But look, we're always trying to say, I always judge my performances. I didn't really enjoy it tonight, but I got what I think is a hugely important point for us and against which is one of the top teams in the country.
We've got an FA Cup tie, and then obviously we get a weekend off, and you know, obviously a winter break isn't something that's been around until quite recently, but it's probably coming at a good time for us.
Yeah, well, if we've been honest, we've had a pretty good Christmas and New Year. I think we've had quite a fair programme at this time of year for what it could be, but let's be fair, our programme before that wasn't fair, and you know, and you could question if was it fair that, you know, we couldn't play Agather Kudos tonight and other teams could play their African players. So from those points there's other things, but I think that we've actually had with players have been able to have a couple of days off here and there. I think it's benefited them, but yeah, we're all it looks like we're going to have a bit of a break with the week we've got, and the players deserve it. They've had a really good front half of the season.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ex-Arsenal 0, West Ham United 2. What a night that was. It could have been worse for him if Saeed scores that penalty. That was a big win, mate, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, massive. It was brilliant. You know, I wish he'd scored that penalty as well, because that would have been so funny given who conceded it. What confused me, and I don't know if I actually pulled my hands up. I haven't looked into this. I don't know if it's been answered, but I don't know why James Ward-Prowse didn't take that penalty. You know, he was on the pitch, penalty taker for Southampton. I know Benrahma scored in the final for us last, so maybe you still give him it, but I would have had Ward-Prowse take that, because you know Rice knows where Benny takes his penalties, and apparently I didn't see this, and I was too busy trying to cheer the penalty on. I was at the game, but I didn't see it. Apparently Rice told him where to dive, told the keeper where to go, and he got it spot on. So he obviously knew usually where Benny places his penalties. But yeah, take that one point out, which I wish he'd scored. It was brilliant. It was a great atmosphere. I had the pleasure. I won't name them because I don't like to give too much away about people I mix with in West Ham circles, but I was out with a really top man, and he'll know because he listens to the show, his son, and it was just a great day. Met in the pub with my brother-in-law as well, and it was just a real great day, build up to it, great atmosphere when we got there. And then obviously West Ham just played really, really well, really, really well, and I thought it was a superb performance. Lovely to go there, shut up that stupid whatever it's called, Ashburton Army or whatever they're called, behind the goal, shut their stupid fans up. Yeah. Just some of the chants were funny as well, and it was just great. That was one of my highlights of Christmas. Was that so? Yeah, happy days. Loved it, mate. Brilliant, and what a result as well.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it goes back a long time, actually, but certainly within recent years, when we think about why West Ham can always seem to get a result against the bigger clubs, but outside of the top six, we tend to struggle. And I was thinking about this, and I genuinely think games like Arsenal away do suit our style of play, because when we do soak up the inevitable pressure and hit them on the counter-attack and we execute it perfectly, we're a problem for sides like Arsenal. And that's what we did. We executed that game plan, the game plan that we always seem to implement, so well at the Emirates. And for poor old Deck, that's the second time he's lost to us this season, isn't it?
Yeah. Everyone knows I love Deck, but I do also love the fact that this is happening. It's so funny. Like, you know, what if only we'd scored that penalty. And like, you know, I say, I hold my hands up. Like, so much time for him. And I know people don't like me saying that, but I have, but that I find the whole situation very amusing. You know, he left West Ham because he wants to go on and win things, and then we've beaten them twice and knocked them out of a cup and totally outplayed them in the Emirates. And it was just such a good away day. That really, really good away day, like one of those away days that will just stick in your head for ages. Because like I say, the meet up beforehand, I've never been to a game with my brother-in-law before, and it was just had that one of those special away days that you won't forget. And to get that result there, and I can't remember their record, but I don't think they've lost at home this season. I know they lost to Fulham just after we played them, but I don't think they'd lost at home all season. So to go there, and we could have won 3-4-0. I know they had chances, but we had good chances as well, and we went there with our centre back partnership of Ogbonna and Mavropanos, two players that had played a couple of times together in Europe and not look great, and without our captain, and obviously Paquetá went off towards the end of the first half, and we still went on and played like that. And this is what I mean, like how you can jump from the euphoria of that game to, all right, not the same 0-0 draw at Brighton, but to have that short memory to then be negative again. Like it was a great day, and I loved it, and I hope so much that when we play them again in February, assuming we don't get them in the FA Cup at any point, if we can beat them in the league and do the hat-trick over them after the first season that he's left, it's just another ironic thing to have over Arsenal, including the first team to win at Emirates, the last team to win at Highbury. It'd just be so funny if we could do that. And happy days. Great, great day that was.
Well, when you talk about how funny it is if we do this and that, we're 6 points behind Arsenal,
I know. I mean, this is a stupid thing. Yeah, this is it.
That is the mad thing. We're 5 points behind Tottenham. We're a point behind Arsenal in fourth. And I'm just saying, and obviously there's no expectations on my side with this, but just imagine if we'd done the hat trick over them and we finish fourth and they finish sixth.
Oh, literally.
And we won the Europa League.
Yeah, mate, you couldn't write it. You really couldn't.
Wouldn't that be
funny? It'd be superb. I mean, I'm looking at the league table now. You know, like you say, 6 points behind Manchester. All right, they've got a game in hand, but 6 points behind Manchester City, 6 points behind Arsenal, five behind Spurs, and then three above Brighton. You know, what is not to enjoy at the moment? Seriously, we've got the European games to come as well. We've potentially, hopefully going to bring in a couple of players in January, more to come on that, and it's not a bad time to be a West Ham fan. In all my life, I've only seen West Ham, aside from obviously when we were in the Championship and we got promoted, those seasons, I've only ever seen West Ham finish one place higher than where we currently are. That was fifth under Harry Redknapp in 1998, 1999, whenever it is. So why there's this so much doom and gloom, I can't tell you, mate. I don't know what goes on, really. But for me, yesterday wasn't great, but loving beating Manchester United, how we beat them as well. We beat them convincingly. It's funny to see the current state of them. Let's see what happens. Let's beat Bristol City. Let's beat Sheffield United away, and again, that's a great start to the season, to the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, we're looking very healthy. There's no two ways about it. I just go back to what I've said so many times before, and I think this is the reason why it does come on top for David Moyes, because of the style of play, because of the things that we wish he could do differently, because of some of the obvious tweaks that he could make in certain games and the way that he approaches certain teams, especially at home, when it could be so much more different. It's okay if we're getting results. It's brilliant if we're getting results. But if we're losing with that mentality and style of play, it's going to come on top for him so much more. But even if we do get a Fulham away, for example, you know, if we're sitting 17th or 16th, then I think it's highly justifiable. But if we have a game against Fulham away and we have a seriously bad day at the office, or we have a game at home to Brighton where we've drawn 0-0 and it's diabolical to watch, and we're sitting sixth in the league, I think we have to give a bit of leniency, don't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely, mate. And, you know, of course, critique the performance. You know, we played badly against Fulham. There's no two ways about it. It was dreadful. We fucked up against Liverpool. We shouldn't have picked that team and we should have played better. So by all means, you criticise these things and you're negative about it because you're judging those 90 minutes, and that's fine. And you can criticise Moyes as much as you want, and you can, and everyone, as I say, no one has a wrong or right opinion. But in my opinion, you have to look at the bigger picture all the time. And as you just said there, rightfully so, if we were 18th, 19th, and we played like that against Brighton, you'd say, look, how are we going to get out of this? But in the grand scheme of things, it is fine. And just try to take a stock on things is what I would advise. But you know, as I say, I'm not more right than anyone else. But it just, to me, baffles me at times because, like I say, we're good. Things are fine. You know, whether they'll be like that at the end of the season, I don't know. But let's see how January goes. You know, things could be worse if the African nations. I was looking at it. The fixtures this morning, you know, we got Bristol City this weekend, which I probably wouldn't have played Kudos in if we didn't have to, because of the fact that, you know, you might give him a rest and stuff, and you'd hope that your rotated players would be able to do the business. Then you've got a week off, and then you've got Sheffield United away, so of all the teams to play, right, ideally you might want them at home, but it's not that much worse to have them away. And then you got Bournemouth at home, and then you got another week off, and then you got Bournemouth at home on the 1st of February. You know, so actually, Kudos, Mayo, and Agüero may only miss one more league game. So even that's more positive than I'd perhaps digested previously.
I tell you what, though, going back to the Arsenal game, at first I was so pleased that Keys and Gray provided definitive proof that that ball was in play from Bowen. And then I was like, do you know what? I'm fucking gutted. Because I think the win would have been even sweeter, wouldn't it?
If
it was proved that it was out of play. But needless to say, oh, fucking, it's just always nice beating them. And obviously, a great header from Dinos as well.
Yeah.
Ironically scoring his first goal for West Ham against his old club. Buzzing for him after what's been a difficult season at times. But we have to talk about Agbonna. I mean, he rolled back the years that night, Ex, didn't he? To give an outstanding performance.
Totally, mate. He was absolutely brilliant. And when I saw that team, you know, I was concerned with him there.
Yeah, I
thought with, like, you know, Saka and Martinelli and Jesus and everything, I thought they would just tear him apart. But credit to the man. I love Ogbonna. I'm so pleased for him that he came in and played that well, because he's such a, I mean, I've never met the fella, but when you see the interviews and stuff, he just comes across so well. And he's like such a great servant of the club now. And for him to come in and play like that, I thought he was absolutely sensational. I thought he had a good game yesterday as well. So, you know, if he can, you know, I mean, who knows whether this is going to be his last season or not. At his age, 35, you'd probably speculate that it is going to be his last season. But if he can continue to play like that for the rest of the season, what a way to bow out. And yes, mate, like, but he won the Patron Man of the Match for that game, and entirely deserved it. Again, I thought Alvarez was very good in that game. I thought Mavropanos was very good in that game. But yeah, he had to give it to Agbonna, and fair play to him, and I'm delighted for him.
Yeah, he's a great lad, Oggy, as well. Great lad. Great servant to West Ham as well over the years, that's for sure. Poor old Declan Rice, eh?
Tell me now, 100 million down the drain. West Ham win again.
So funny. It really is. He almost, like, I don't know, I don't think he caught it on the cameras because I've not watched it back. But I have seen the highlights back, but I didn't really see this. He's kind of smirked when he gave away the penalty.
It was as if to say, oh, I can't fucking believe this. It was that sort of smile, you know? Yeah, that was exactly funny. He did, you're right.
It was funny. And then at the end, it was really awkward for him because obviously, I think in his head he thought, right, I'm going to come and clap the West Ham fans, and fair play to him for doing that, because, you know, he took a bit of stick throughout the game, but he still wanted to come over. But because obviously the West Ham players were over there celebrating, he kind of like was on the edge of going over to clap us, but couldn't quite get there because it looked weird. And it's just funny. Like, you know, like I said, I don't have anything against the fella. I think he's a top guy, but, you know, from a West Ham fan perspective, it's funny if your star man or whatever walks out on you because he wants to go and better his career or whatever, and then you beat him twice in a row. You know, you can't not love that. You're not a true fan if you don't love that. So yeah, happy days on that one.
Yeah, very true. Well, it's Bristol City in the FA Cup this weekend, as you said. They're currently 11th in the Championship. How do you expect David Moyes to approach that game? And are you confident of getting a result, or is this a potential banana skin?
It's definitely a potential banana skin. I'm never confident with West Ham in cup competitions against lower teams. I've been scarred one too many times by that. But it's going to really depend on the team he picks. And if I was him, I personally would try and get a blend. But I would actually, rather than play the likes of Funes or Benrahma, who we keep sort of having as our fringe players, I would actually give a couple of the academy lads to go now. So I'd have, you know, so in goal you'd have either Areola or Fabianski, as it's a cup game. I would keep Ben Johnson at right back, see if he can build on that performance yesterday. And obviously there's no need to play Sheffield. Keep Ogbonna and Mavropanos, but with the idea of maybe bringing on Kaelin Casey at centre back. I'd be tempted to play Oliver Scholes at left back. I'd also be tempted to try and get Lewis Orford and maybe Callum Marshall or George Earthy maybe into that starting lineup somehow, or at least on the bench to come on, and then the rest be your sort of more experienced players. I'd keep Ward-Prowse in there, I think, for the set pieces and the experience, and I'd probably keep Alvarez in there, but then again, that said, I think Conor Coventry should get a chance. So I think he's just going to get a good blend between academy players that haven't had their chances yet. Oh, and I'd get Cornet in there as well, and a few experienced players, so largely rotation, I would say, but not too much where you jeopardise the tie.
I think you're right. I'm not sure I would make wholesale changes. I think because we've got a break coming up. You know,
that's the thing. That's spot on. That is the thing, because it's got the break after. I think you're right. You don't have to make, if it was like in the middle of a packed out few weeks, then you'd make more. But as I was saying it, that was the thing niggling in the back of my mind, that because there is a break, you might not need to make that many. But I do think you've got to try and give at least one or two of the academy lads a chance, because when else are they going to get their chance if you don't?
Yeah, 100%, mate, 100%. And they've earned it as well. So at some point, you've got to give opportunities to those that have earned it. So, I agree. Okay, it's that time again.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.